Exodus 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in Egypt, "This month is to be for you the first month of your year. Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. That same night, they are to eat the meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roasted over a fire with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you are to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. On that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals, and I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." I'm going to hand over to Morag for the second part of our reading. Thanks very much, Morag.
During the night, Pharaoh summoned Moses and Aaron and said, "Up, leave my people, you and the Israelites. Go, worship the Lord as you have requested. Take your flocks and herds as you have said and go, and also bless me." The Egyptians urged the people to hurry and leave the country, for otherwise, they said, "We will all die." So the people took their dough before the yeast was added and carried it on their shoulders in kneading troughs wrapped in clothing. The Israelites did as Moses instructed and asked the Egyptians for articles of silver and gold and for clothing. The Lord had made the Egyptians favorably disposed towards the people, and they gave them what they asked for, so they plundered the Egyptians. The Israelites journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth. There were about 600,000 men on foot, besides women and children. Many other people went up with them, and also large droves of livestock, both flocks and herds. With the dough the Israelites had brought from Egypt, they baked loaves of unleavened bread. The dough was without yeast, because they had been driven out of Egypt and did not have time to prepare food for themselves. Now the length of time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt, on this night all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come.
Well, I won't ask for a show of hands now, but if the social media buzz is anything to go by, I guess some of us will have been avidly following the latest series of Line of Duty. And for me, I find this a bit tricky, because I haven't seen any of it, like any of it at all, ever, even though we're on kind of series six now. It's just kind of passed me by. And so I suspect if I was to start watching the latest episode or the end of the series, not only would I not understand because of what's gone on in this series, but because I've missed the preceding five as well. Maybe you've had the same thing, but with a different show. And so if we're to watch an episode without the context, we can be left thinking, well, why have they reacted in that way? Why is that character to done that thing? That makes no sense. We need the full picture, the history of what's going on, to understand the full picture. And in the same way, when we look at the Bible, we need the whole story too. If we were to just think about Jesus' death on the cross without the backstory, we'd understand it. But we miss the full weight of why Jesus is so important. And what's that backstory? Well, it covers the whole Bible, but one of the kind of key moments is in our story today in Exodus chapter 12. So let's have a look at that passage. Over the last few weeks, we've seen God's rescue plan for his people swing into action. God's commissioned Moses to go before Pharaoh, to order Pharaoh to release his people or face the consequences. God sent the plagues as punishment on Pharaoh's sin, both of refusing to bow the knee to God, but also for his cruelty on God's people. And all this culminates, as Laura has already described, in the death of the firstborn sons of the people and the firstborn of the animals too. God's punishment on Pharaoh. But there is a way out. God provides a way for people to avoid this terrible situation. A lamb is sacrificed, its blood daubed on the lintels and doorposts, so that all who live under the blood of the lamb are spared this terrible plague. This is the Passover. God's judgment passing over the land of Egypt. And it's one of, if not the key moment of the Old Testament. And there's a few things we should notice. Unlike many of the other plagues which only affected the Egyptians, this covers the whole of the land of Egypt, universally. The Israelites are not spared the presence of this plague. Although Pharaoh and Egypt's sin was greater, the Israelites too are sinners under God's judgment. Like all humanity, they have not followed God's way. They too, without God's merciful provision, would have been affected by the plague. And let's think about that provision. God asked them to sacrifice a lamb, and its death saves the firstborn son from death. The lamb is a substitute. Its blood is in the place of the son who would otherwise have died. And that's exactly what happens in the story. Death sweeps across the land on that fateful night and spares those with blood on the doorpost, those who are sheltering behind it. And God's people are finally released. God has rescued them. But more than that, God richly blesses them as they leave. As verses 35 and 36 describe, they ask and receive gold and silver and clothing from the Egyptians. They plunder them. All this is God's work. He promised to bring them out of Egypt. He promised to save them from slavery. He promised them signs and wonders. He promises them great blessing. God has done all that he said he would, and his rescue is available for his people so long as they follow his instructions. Now, right now, all adults in the UK are faced with a choice. Are we going to be vaccinated against COVID-19? The government is strongly urging us to, but to my knowledge, it's not mandatory. We have to decide to book ourselves in. We have to turn up for the appointment. We have to decide whether it's worth our while. And in the same way, God's people in Exodus 12 had to decide too. God is warning them of the punishment that is coming and was offering them a rescue. All they had to do was eat the lamb and put the blood on the door in the particular way. But the Israelites had to choose one way or the other. Will they heed God's warning or not? And they do. We see that, don't we, in the text. We heard that in the story, that they choose to sacrifice the lamb and they are saved. They're brought out. And this great rescue is something that they are instructed to remember. They're ordered by God to remember this moment forevermore. In the intervening bits between our first and second reading, God says, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. And they do. Throughout the Old Testament, the celebration of the Passover is recorded. This moment is etched into the memory of God's people. That moment when God rescued. As they ate the lamb and unleavened bread, they remember the freedom that God gave them and how they escaped the land of Egypt. It's a wonderful rescue. But as you probably noticed from the title on the screen, it's God's lesser rescue. I guess most of us understand the concept of amplification. I speak into this microphone in front of me, and the church amplifiers make it louder. And while there are no microphones in the Bible, to my knowledge, there is amplification. Not of sound, but of themes and events that happen in the Bible. Events that happen earlier on are repeated and repeated and become louder and louder until they reach their final form. And the Passover rescue is one of those moments. God, in rescuing his people in Egypt, is preparing us for a greater rescue. God is going to rescue the world from sin and death, the curse that all of us are under. And he's going to do it through Jesus. In fact, the New Testament regularly presents Jesus in terms of the Passover. To pick two particular verses, we see this from John's Gospel. That the next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Or the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians says, "For Christ, our Passover Lamb, has been sacrificed." The New Testament is explicit that we should see Jesus as the great Passover Lamb. The one that the Passover in the Old Testament was pointing towards. The one who was going to save not just God's people in Egypt, but God's people across the whole world, under whose blood safety can be found. Like the lamb in Exodus 12 was to be a perfect lamb, a lamb without defect. So Jesus was without sin. You see that in his interactions with people, the way that he resists the devil's temptation and completely follows God's will. He is perfect. And so he can offer a perfect life and a perfect sacrifice. He could be the proper substitute, the one who would die in our place. As Paul says later on in 2 Corinthians, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. At the Passover, the lamb gave its life so that the firstborn son could live. At the cross, Jesus died so that anyone who trusts in him might live forever with God, that they might enjoy Jesus' righteousness as their own. As the lamb foreshadowed, Jesus died as a substitute in our place so that we might live. But it doesn't just stop there. It's true of God's blessings as well. God's people in Exodus 12 were blessed by the spoils of Egypt. How much more will those who trust in the death of Jesus be blessed? They will receive friendship with God, new community, renewed relationship together, God's Holy Spirit dwelling with them. And that's even before the blessings of eternal life and life in heaven, that place in the city of God where the sun will never set, because God will be its light. We receive something priceless, not just for this life, but forever. Later in our gathering this morning, we will be sharing bread and wine together. And we do that because of how Jesus modified the Passover feast. No longer do we eat the lamb for a sacrifice, because Jesus has been sacrificed for us once and for all. But we eat bread and drink the wine to remind us of Jesus' body and blood. And as we do so, they encourage our faith. They point us back to the cross, and they help us to take hold of all that Jesus has done for us. It's a new symbol of a greater rescue. But there is a warning here for us too. In the same way that anyone in the Exodus who wished to avoid God's punishment, Israelite or Egyptian, had to follow these instructions about the lamb and its blood, so we too have to follow God's instruction. We need to take hold of Christ's death by believing in him, trusting in his death for our rescue. It's why it's not possible to be culturally Christian. We either believe and trust in Jesus and so are Christians, or we don't and are not. No matter what our background, no matter how good our religious credentials are, no matter how much we've been to church, no matter how good we've been, if we don't take hold of Jesus for ourselves, we still fall under God's condemnation. Now, earlier this week, it was announced that we're going to be able to travel again overseas for our holidays. And when we land at a foreign airport, we're going to have to present one of these. I mean, maybe it's been lost or disappeared for the last year. I had to dig mine out. We're going to have to present our passport, aren't we? And no matter what other documentation I show to the officer at the border, they're going to want to see my passport. Nothing else is going to get me in to whatever country is on the list of places we're allowed to go to. We just need our passports. And in the same way, the death of Jesus on the cross is the only thing we need. That's why Jesus' death is so important. Jesus' death means rescue from sin. His perfect life means that the blood he offers can save us, and nothing else will do. If you've not trusted in Jesus, don't be tempted to go anywhere else. Only this will help you find peace with God. And if you have trusted in Jesus, then let's not move from this spot. As we remember Jesus, whether through bread and wine together or in our life more generally, let's hold on to Jesus' death. As the old song goes, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.